Hello, everyone. You know I have to talk about impeachment. If you're not familiar with my background, I used to teach college, and I was a political science professor, I guess you could say. And so obviously, so many of the things I like to talk about refer in some way or another to politics, and I've always said I chose to study politics because it trumps all other things. How many times have governments made stupid economic decisions because it was politically expedient? So why study economics when you can study politics? No offense to my listeners who love economics, but I've always liked to study power. I think it's fascinating how people obtain power, what they do with power, how they lose power. Power has always fascinated me. So we have to talk about impeachment. It's the fourth time it's happened, and there have been, four different presidents? Actually, 44. Remember, we had a president who became president at two separate times, so he actually gets two different numbers. So we've had 44 presidents, not 45. That's a little bit of trivia for you. And obviously, this is a tumultuous time that we live in, no doubt about it. But what can we learn from a coaching perspective about impeachment? And I think we can learn about hubris. And although when I was younger, I never really got into Greek mythology, so many of the Greek tragedies revolve around this idea of hubris, where something great happens, or you have this great idea, or you get away with something, and then you immediately double down, thinking that more must be a better outcome if you just keep doing it. And it's just not always the case. And I reflect upon my own life when things like this happen, because it has happened many times in my life where a good thing happens, so I want more of it, and then tragedy ensues. And I think the best example in my life is when I had this incredible idea with a business partner and an ex-lover of mine, where we were going to start this small hotel in a foreign European city, and it was going to be a straight-friendly hotel owned by gay men at a time in the early 21st century when it was sort of, ooh, that's really cool. Gay men must know how to decorate. They must know how to make things pretty. And he did. I didn't. I just knew how to get people to get things done on a shoestring budget. And after starting it, and no one thought it was going to be successful. And if it had been done at any other time in sort of the history of the world, it wouldn't have been. But because of the internet and being able to get reviews out very quickly, it was profitable much faster than it would have been at any other time. And it was like, wow, what confidence we had. And I remember we had this rooftop deck, and I was standing on the rooftop deck with a couple of friends, and one, his name was Phil, said, it's incredible what you've accomplished. And I thought, yeah, it really is. So then I wanted more. And so another opportunity came about, and I was able to travel and try to solve that person's problems. And within a very short period of time, my world sort of imploded on me. And I was responsible for that. I bit off way too much, much more than I could chew, much more than could be absorbed by my family. And I paid a very heavy price. And so when I found out that Donald Trump made that call to the Ukrainian president the day after Robert Mueller testified, I thought, that's hubris. That's excessive self-confidence. Because let's face it, Robert Mueller stunk. He absolutely stunk. He never should have been up there talking about what he was talking about. And people don't like to talk about it, but clearly he's in mental decline, and that's very sad. And it's sort of ironic that we're in an era where so many of the people who are determining the future of America seem to be in mental decline. And I'm no doctor, and we all have to say that when we're not doctors, but it doesn't take a brain surgeon to know that Donald Trump is also in decline. And I don't know what the cause of it is, but I grew up in New Jersey. I just sounded very Jersey by saying that. He didn't sound like that in the 1980s and the 1990s. Oh yeah, he's always been a charlatan, an absolute one. My grandmother would have said he's such a phony. Yeah, he is. Lots of us are phony to a certain degree. But clearly this idea that, look, I won, the Russia investigation is not going to hurt me, and now I can double down. And instead of as a candidate ask for help, as president I could ask for help to a foreign government. Yeah, it's a favor. Come on, help me out here. And then people will say, well, there was no quid pro quo. But it reminds me of a Sopranos episode where you walk into a place and say, hey, this is a lovely establishment. I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to it. I mean, I grew up in an Italian-American family. This is what people do when they want other people to do something they wouldn't otherwise do without being implicated. And I'm not saying my family, they were all in the mob. No. But I did have an uncle who lost some fingers working in a candy store. So I don't, you know, I think that it is pretty clear to me that hubris is something we all suffer from when we have success. If we're not careful to realize that so many other people were involved in that success and not just us. So you have to get off your high horse and realize, wow, without that team behind me, this never would have happened. And so if I want to do something else, how do I then incorporate the team again? And if I talk to the team, whoever your team is, about this idea, and they push back because they trust that I'm willing to listen, then maybe I wouldn't take that next chance. And that's something I didn't do after the hotel in Budapest. I didn't listen to other people who said, whoa, maybe this is too much for you to take on right now. And I can imagine no one wanted to talk to Donald Trump about taking on too much after the Mueller testimony. And even if they had, he probably wouldn't have listened. And it's just fascinating to me to think about sort of Greek tragedies and how hubris always is the thing that knocks down powerful people when they're at their best, right? I mean, people think about why did Nixon feel like he needed to have a Watergate break-in when he was going to win the election by one of the greatest landslides ever? Hubris. And why did Bill Clinton think that he could do things in the Oval Office sexually? Hubris. It's hubris. I mean, this is not the same thing, obviously. Lying about a sexual encounter is very different than about asking a foreign government to help you win an election a second time. But it's still hubris. And wisdom doesn't necessarily come from tragedy. It can. When we're knocked down, we can actually learn a lot about ourselves. We can learn a lot about our strengths, a lot about our weaknesses, and a lot about not asking others for help. It can, but it's not guaranteed. Aeschylus was a famous Greek writer, and Robert Kennedy used to love to quote Aeschylus. He claimed he was his favorite. And we really do have a choice in life when we're knocked down, or when we feel collectively knocked down as we do right now. Robert Kennedy is famous for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons why I love studying him is because he grew so much emotionally from the tragedies in his life. And in 1968, when Martin Luther King died, Robert Kennedy was campaigning for president. And he happened to be in Indianapolis, which had a very significant African-American community and still does. And he was about to give a stump speech when he heard the news. And so he had to change his speech, obviously, after hearing the news of MLK's assassination. And so he got up and he spoke about, we have a choice when faced with tragedy. We can choose vengeance, or we can choose wisdom. And that's really what Aeschylus was always writing about, that we can show mercy to ourselves and others, we can seek understanding. I guess what I'm getting at here is that for so many of us who despise Donald Trump, and I'm one of them, I think he is a diabolical human being. But we have to be careful here that what matters is the future of the country. What matters is how we go about this process so that we can all learn and grow from it in some way that makes us look back at this time and say, okay, some good came from it. A lot of bad things are going to come from this, no doubt about it. This is going to be an incredibly difficult experience for the country. It's a very necessary experience for the country. And for so many of the people listening right now, we're going to get angry, we're going to get sad, it's going to feel overwhelming. And we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But we have to seek wisdom in our tragedies, collectively or individually. And that's what I ask you all to reflect upon on this Friday. This is heavy stuff for a weekend. Is that reflect upon a time when you have done something that you would categorize as hubristic. I don't think that's even a word. I might have just made that up. But suffering from hubris. It should be a word if it isn't. And say to yourself, what are the lessons that you learned from that? Where was the wisdom? Don't blame other people. Don't somehow think, oh, it was all about chance that it happened. Take responsibility. Go in deep and think about how you can make sure the next time you succeed, not the next time you fail, but the next time you succeed, that you do it humbly, that you recognize all the people who supported you in that success, and that you allow success to grow without taking advantage of other people, without lying, without deceit, without cooking the books. I think that could be the great lesson we all learn from the tragedy of Donald Trump, because he is the biggest Greek tragedy I've ever witnessed in American politics, certainly in my lifetime. He makes Richard Nixon look like a Walt Disney production. So let's learn and buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.